to emphasize the obvious thing, this just is in order for us to comply with Chapter 10 of the Constitution in terms of the establishment of even the public service commission, but also, you know, the basic values and principles governing the public service administration as captured in 195, Section 195 of the Constitution. We appreciate the presentation, and I'm sure the members have attentively listened to the presentation, and they would like to interact with the presentation. Before we elaborate in terms of where we are, can we allow members to interact with the presentation? Starting with Honourable Murray.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you. It was a very good presentation, and I was always very impressed with the work of the Public Service Commission. Well done. I've just got one question. I just picked it up on that slide 11, where it was the poverty account. I'm just worried. I mean, it only gives 122 rand as the lens or the criteria, but it's over an enormous long time. Now, I mean, when you discount inflation, you always talk about the real figure. There seems to be this, you know, the same figure that you use over that period, but if you provide for inflation, obviously that will change the picture dramatically. Because 422 rand a month of 1994 compared to 2009, I mean, that's not apples comparing with apples. So maybe you can elaborate on that one. You know, maybe I'm interpreting it incorrectly, but if you could just correct that, because that was just one.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Honourable Mare. Honourable Titoit, followed by Honourable Stichot.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just noticed that from the slides, we are, in general, we're just moving backwards in many cases. It's not all, but in some of them. One that, to me, is quite significant, slide 20, good agile practice is an indicator of average length of time in months to fill a post. I do understand that it can take 3 months because you have to advise, the person has to accept, he has to give notice and he has to come in. You can't always get somebody that's out of the job, you have someone to head on to this. I do understand that. But for me to see that 72% of departments that takes more than 9 months to fill a post is incredible. And this is human resource practice. So we have, over the last year, we've come to notice that there's a management problem. And last week, the minister explained that there's a high turnover of senior management, the generals, directors generals. So it's a management phenomenon, and it's also a HR practice phenomenon. Goes together. Somewhere there's a problem. How are we going to solve this? Because to 72% of the departments, there's more than 9 months to fill a post. That is totally unacceptable. It cannot be. I would understand some of these posts are maybe suspect that you say, look, maybe you should cut these posts. You should rationalize. I understand that. But even if half those posts are not kind of redundant, it still means it's a heck of a lot. So if we could just have some pointers on how we're going to solve this and get this, drive this home with the departments, because it's not our problem here, we're just reporting. But we need to somehow get these departments to take notice. Thank you.
Thanks, Honourable
Secretary.
Honourable
very supporting the question of experience course. You know, in head, they look, then the head of it
my question then would be, were these HOD
supposed to submit or where they do, the way they are vacancy or where new DGs who did not submit performance agreement, just to be sure what happened here. Thank you, Chief.
Yeah, thanks to me, that's response to the issue that's by the other.
Thanks to Honor. I will attempt to answer or to respond to the question raised by the Honorable Thomas regarding the concern that was expressed. I think Honorable Thomas has a very important issue, which of course we are also very much concerned about it. It is for that reason that if you look at towards the conclusion of the presentation that was made this afternoon, that the particular challenges which we have observed, and one of these challenges is the fact that we spend a lot of money, a lot of energy, to monitor, evaluate, and make recommendations. And more often than not, the policies of setting compliance with particular policies, for example. But if you look at the impact, there's a big impact. What then is to be done? We cannot keep on sharing out, you know, reports every year, getting air out, and then keep on making these observations, but there's no impact. Therefore, we have taken a position that says we need now not only that we should just, you know, keep on reporting, but say after a year or so, we need to be more diagnostic in our approaches, to look at deeply, in order to move away simply from compliance, but also to be more developmental and more intervention, so to speak, to say now, what exactly are the underlying causes of this problem? For example, the issue of performance management and development is part of it. What are the underlying, you know, causes of it? And then come up with what, with remedial recommendation and a follow-up as well as engage the department to make improvement. So that is one way of trying to deal with this challenge. But certainly, if in one of the slides in this presentation, the one that indicates that perhaps we need to revisit the policy of decentralization, and try to decentralize, I think we need to begin implementing that. Because the challenge, one of the challenges which is linked to the point that you made of this heightened over of the DGs, etc. Among other challenges is the issue of the fact that now the current regulatory regime is such that now the executive authorities are having human resource powers. Most of them, they can only delegate, and more often than not, they don't delegate powers. And as a result, now you find that when it comes to employing people, there is also this challenge now, who after living for the last week. Now, part of the problem there is the fact that now is that we're decentralized this power to the execution authority. Perhaps there's a need that now these powers need to be given to those people who are matters. That's why the HOD or DG should be given certain powers. That also will allow the process of employment or people, of course, to be taken up as much quicker. So in short, we are saying that now you are spot on this challenge. I think we need to revisit the current policy framework as whether can actually be part of the solution. But I think from our part, we will engage on a more diagnostic approach. Thank you.
Very much, just to continue in the same vein as the chairperson. You see, in the Health Service Commission, we have dealt with a lot of studies and research work that give us an idea of what basically is wrong in the HR section of the public service. Yes, we wrote the report about the Fishguard Institute data sets, which is a important duty. We need to deal with it. And if we don't deal with it, some of the consequences already are here for us to see. And as the chairperson said, we need to be brutally honest to ourselves. But some of the things that were conceived before with good intentions do not work, because policies always have an intended and unintended consequence. It is how you manage the balance between the two that make them work. For example, you know, the issue of the study that we're having now in the PSC. We're looking at HR and finance delegations. I think we're almost concluding the study, if I'm not mistaken. We are about concluded. And as commissioners, we went out to the department and interviewed the HOD. There's one HOD I'll never forget. He says to me, we have a problem with EAs having HR delegations for the simple reason that it is like you are chosen to be the coach of our fund of funds, but you're not allowed to choose and select your team, but you're expected to win the World Cup. So for me, that was a very significant statement. And the issue here is that when you look at HR delegations, HR delegations have financial implications. Finance delegations are with the HODs in terms of the CFMA. But the same people who have financial delegations don't have any say with regard to HR delegations which have financial implications. So we need to deal with that quite decisively. Because in professionalizing the public sector, we need to be very honest with what we deal with. Now, for me, I always say, if we want to turn around the public sector, there are two things we need to do. One of them we talked about there is managing performance and managing poor performance tighter than what we're doing now. Because our studies and the studies of the EPSA have shown that there's abuse of the PMDS system, as you know it to be. To quote the words of, I want to remember that doctor from the EPSA, he said, the PMD system is now a conduit for keeping people financial rewards. And that confirms the study we made earlier ourselves. Now, if you don't manage that, I can almost assure you will never get it right. The second thing is following prescripts to the letter. Especially when we deal with issues of procurement. Flouting of laws, flouting of regulations and processes will never lead us to professionalize the public sector, including recruitment and selection itself, because it's a big problem. We spend a week in one department, and it's almost a disaster how recruitment and selection is done. So the issue for me is we need to have a relook at the legal framework that governs HR and HR practices in South Africa. Look at whether there's been compliance and willingness to implement those legal principles. And that is the first step towards professionalizing the public sector. Perhaps if the chair could allow me to go to the next step, it's related from one of the members to the issue about the jobs. We also had a study on this 30-day period. And in our introduction, we said there's a clear linkage between the creation of jobs and developmental state and the payment of service providers. Because the ruling party's documents say if you want to deal with poverty, unemployment, and inequality, you have to grow the economy. Now, if you don't pay on time, the services that they give, it means you are working against what the president said in terms of creating jobs, which is quite rightly. You are not allowing a free flow of enterprise and innovative ideas in growing the economy, because there's no flow of finances towards the people who want to make those improvements. So for us, the issue is consequences. There seems to be no consequences when people flout laws. There seems to be no political will to deal with people who cross the past, you know, dealing with issues in a correct and legal way. So most of the things that we talk about are interlinked. And if we don't deal with the set of issues, we cannot deal with the particular one. So we need to take a holistic approach.
Thank you very much. Unless it's the other issue that you need to raise, I don't know if it's, we want to share.
Just two outstanding questions, I think. It's a team. No. But it's, I can just quickly go through a few of the outstanding ones. The poverty headcount that Novo Malay raised, that thing is based on real.
Let me just intervene here and take another Ramadan's question before we proceed with coming up to your responses.
Appointment of the levels of officials. But the issue is whether be in our being to delegate those powers, especially in the issues of politics. That's the issue that I've been giving the show. These are different. It's different when those powers are delegated. The law allows the EA to exercise those powers even though they're delegated. So basically, meaning in essence, the person, the delegate can be overruled. Because the accountability and the power lies is within you. That is where the problem is. The second one is the issue of moratorium on the appointments. I don't know, I mean, I've been in the commission for the past 9 years. I don't know how many times I've seen the word moratorium on appointments in most of them for the annual report of the affairs. It seems like when everything is cancelled, there's a moratorium. Whatever reason, I've tested me as some of the engagement. What is the logic behind this moratorium on the moratorium? Are you aware of the effect of this moratorium? And what is very strange with our DG presenting a while ago is that you will find that the moratorium on a way, on a certain way, in certain units and accounts. But the ability to spend the money in that department is very high, even though they are not people. And when you look again at whether the department is very successful in terms of the staff that is absent, they haven't made those but the money. We have that credible information that we have. Now, those are two of the main issues. The other one is sometimes you get appointments, we deal with them. I think 3 weeks ago, we received a lot of elements related to recruitment activities. A clear flouting of procedures, you know, is quite common. And sometimes we have to say, take this, it can be done. So those are some of the issues we're dealing. And sometimes the grievances track on and on. And the suspensions again, another very crucial point that I think the commission. There's an apparent, at least, as far as I've seen over the years, abuse of such things. Example, if I'm talking to you in one department, in one province, the department has 12 SMS members. 6 have been suspended from 26th of June 2011 to 8. So the department is dysfunctional. And those people that I'm telling you are being paid. And you look at the way the charges change. You know, the charges change from time to time. They're hearings and they realize our case is weak. They jump other charges. And there are no consequences for people to take those financial decisions, which are detrimental to the customer. I think we need to be tight about that. And perhaps consider that from my side, the issue of almost criminalizing non-performance. We have an example of what they call in the USA, Government Performance and Results Act of 1999, where HODs and DGs are bound to perform. If a criminal act is not to perform, perhaps we need to be tight on what you mentioned earlier with the chairperson. If they say you will give your ID and passport, and it doesn't happen, it happens to trust you, they compensate you as a client. They sort of compensate you for not giving you a true service. And then they get back into the department to say, on whose deck was the small state assigned to my attention? And they put the money for them. So people have to take, it happens to the private sector, nothing strange. It happens to the private sector. If you want to run government regulations, we need to be tighter. So then people should not think that the public sector is where you can just wire your way into your place. We need, because some of us take the public sector as a professional, as a colleague. And when people who are just waiting here and giving the public sector a bad day, do those things. It's really painful. It needs to be much stronger.
income numbers on which the poverty account is based, real incomes, in other words, already discounts for inflation. And then lastly, the question from Andrew Mohale around the breakdown of the submission of PA numbers. I agree we can, we would have a better picture if we would have broken down that number for how many agencies post-reckoned, how many new agencies and consequently did not submit the PA. In any of these indicators, it would be good to give further breakdowns because it gives more nuance to the data. I've also made the example on the vacancy rate. If one just gives an overall vacancy rate, it averages all things out. But if I break down that vacancy rate between different occupations, between different levels of management, then one get a more nuanced picture. So I agree with the Honourable Wiley. If we break that number down, it will give the media a better picture.
Other responses? Yeah, just to get on what Commissioner Edith said in response to Honorable Lagarde's concern. I think that the question of delegation is part of the problem. But to respond to your concern that we need more useful information. Perhaps one can restate what I said earlier on to say the Commission has taken a position that it must move away from nearly compliance, to the more developmental approach. That's to say that now we should not stop at looking at the points to say we are supposed to have appointed to live 3 months or they have taken 9 months, but we should move beyond pointing out there and find out if there is a prevalence, of these people of 70-72%, then the Commission needs to look at what the cause, why that's people of offense. Because that kind of design will then point out, precisely where are the blockages, who are responsible, and then we come up with possible solutions. I think such information will be more useful than simply say, 73%, of the department do not comply with 3 months. But more importantly, why is it like that? And then come up with possible, what are the possible causes and what are the possible solutions. But equally important, who are the culprits? Because everywhere, someone is responsible for that. And without pointing out who are the culprits, what exactly are the possible reasons, then comes not useful. So I think that is one way in which we can try to provide more meaningful information.
Thank you. It's not related to the questions, but it's related to the constitutional area principle of the development orientation. So we indicate a little bit of a problem here. The budget situation is now busy because the government has said we want to be a development country. Yeah, yes.
Yes.
So the government is saying we want to be a development country. The public service commission says how can we move towards a development of public administration? And I think that is the main conversation we should be having now. And we started doing that already. Because this particular constitutional relevance, we need to refine the indicators there to be appropriate to align with our thinking, common thinking on developmental, because we haven't done that at the first sentence. So we have already started conversation. We've commissioned a paper on two papers, in fact, leadership for developmental state, and then the second one is the developmental state, its nature and origins. Because what we want to do is to develop a common idiom and grammar amongst all public servants.
about what is developmental stage is and what developmental administration is, what it contributes to the day-to-day running of education so that we develop that stage. Because we believe unless and until we have those common attributes of developmental state and developmental administration, we won't be able to define our way forward. Because there's a lot of work that has been done in this area. And so I think in the committee also, perhaps when the committee finds time, we can share that paper with them for them to at least sharpen our thinking about that too and make specific proposals before we finalize the paper, or the two papers in fact.
Another question? Yes, thank you,
Jefferson. I think I'll be very quick. Also, there's another slide there that refers to senior management expertise or signing the performance agreements. That's also great. But it seems to me that we've narrowed down to what the gentleman has said. We've narrowed it down to the fact that performance, there's no performance agreements in place at certain rates. And also there's no consequence for actions not taking place. Now, we've heard that last year also, I believe that one of the people from National Treasury said, if you would remember, Chairperson, that there's no consequences in government. And I remind myself that Ronald Reagan said once, he says that, after all he was the president of quite a big nation, the state departments are like a baby, you know. It's a healthy appetite on the one end and no responsibility on the other end. You know, there's no, you have to catch it yourself. So can you just fix the consequences? And don't we need some legislation? I mean, it's all good and well if we can bring out a paper to enlighten people what the developmental administration should look like. But shouldn't we try and speed up the necessary legislation and enforce it? Because I think if this committee takes decisions and make reports to Parliament that carry and have more teeth, we may be able to help these gentlemen to get this going quicker. So that's just my observation. I don't think there's any comments.
Thank you very much for contribution, comments, questions, and something you said during the issue of responding. We might really want to discuss some of the issues that are here, but I just need to reflect quite a bit and indicate that yes, of course, in terms of the presentation that was done, which does evaluation on the Section 1 and different participants in and principal governing and public administration. That was to quickly just flash through what I want to mention also, whereas we did not pick up the constitution. We almost thought, you know, when there was a dogmatic approach, we almost thought we might not reach the point which we have reached by now with this kind of presentation, you know, and this kind of process that is from the constitutional commission. Because on Section 95, they talk about public administration must be governed by the democratic values and principles enshrined in the Constitution, including the following principles. I won't say them in detail, just as a reminder. High standard of professional ethics, you'll just recall the presentation while I can go through them. Efficient, economic, and effective use of resources. Public administration must be development-oriented, that Commissioner Haley was talking about. Services must provide infrastructure, fair, equitable, equitability and without bias. People's needs must be responded to and the public must be accountable. Transparency must be fostered by providing public with timely, accessible and accurate information, which human resource management and general development practices to maximize human potential must be cultivated, including public administration must be broadly representative of the South African people with employment and personnel management practices based on ability, objectivity, fairness, and the needs to redress the imbalances of the past to achieve a broad presentation. This is, you know, every time I remember when probably this commission was presenting, they would explain to those videos so that we always remember. And I think as this committee, we do have that kind of responsibility to ensure that we monitor and ensure that when we do this thing of ours, an overarching oversight, we look into all those aspects. Are they achievable, you know, broadly? And therefore, we definitely have to get back to where we believe things are not standard. I think, referring to what the last member that said, Honorable Dwight, you know, thinking about the performance agreement, how we complemented one another with the commission. They did identify at some point the people who combined, and they raised to us the ones who did not combine. As a committee, we call those who did not combine. And surely that reduced the number of combines the next day. Committee becomes from, they know that there was nothing combined there. And we interviewed where we thought it's bad, and things changed. And therefore, the reason is that we complement one another because they are established on a purpose and our oversight. It's not a purpose, it's not for fun when we come together, talk about the issues and goodbye, everything. But it is a reason. We have seen it with the performance agreement, and we are aware people take performance agreements seriously now, and those who don't, we still will deal with them. We'll call them to Parliament for them to account where it didn't say, that there is work with the performance complaints, because it is in that decision in the cabinet. You know, that is binding them. They actually decided to improve the time frame. And therefore, it's just for them to comply. And therefore, we just have a group that relates on what they're supposed to do, what they agree to do, which is necessary, what is basic. You know, we start with compliance before we can even achieve all the inputs and all. I'm actually raising this because, to me, the Public Service Commission has reached that point. It's an achievement. Both for the Public Service Commission and for the committee, you know, because we're looking forward to getting this kind of assessment. And, you know, for us, also, you know, we've been squabbling about it. And this is coming so well from the Public Service Commission. It's something that we need to congratulate the Public Service Commission that we have reached the area where now we're looking at basic things. What we need to do now is to elevate it to a level when we realize things are not so good, we deal with it in a way that we're able to bring closer those who don't comply entirely, because that's part of cleaning up and heightening, you know, the burden of the public, which we believe is not really functioning. So with that machine, which is critical for the delivery of services to the poor people. And therefore, we'd really like to thank you. The other issue that comes very keen once the report has been presented is the issue of the collaboration that we normally preach about, the collaboration of institutions where you pick up various points, you know, from the Auditor General. So, you know, something that the Public Service Commission did complain and say, we don't have all the money, we don't have all the resources, it may be difficult. And, you know, sure, coming up with a collaboration, they realize, you know, might not necessarily want money to start the report from scratch, but you can get support that is well, sort of, well participated through the Auditor General, and we understand that the principles followed in terms of the accounting principles, etc., which we can utilize, and that's exactly what we're talking about, the collaboration of the institution. I still believe that there are some reports, honorable members from our side, the BRRR reports, that still comes where we have done oversight, which can be used. That it is a budgetary review recommendation report, because we actually engage with the annual report, we deal with all other aspects, you know, and we do refer like recommendations in terms of where some rules from the department. They can also be part of complementing that collaboration we've already started, of bringing some reports that are of value and also doing some work with us as the Public Services Commission. And I must be honest, to me, this is one of those, this is a major movement forward, which is quite critical to the committee, you know. This is one major movement forward. Honourable members, the issues that do repeat themselves once they come, you know, based on the work that was done, the process that came to our attention. The National Development Plan, for example, does talk about the head of public service. I was just listening to the discussion about, you know, using the issue of delegation of authority and so on. I'm sure some of the issues anchor on the issue of, you know, the NDP that is highlighted. I know there was there's an NDP which you took Taliban, but we did want the effectiveness of the Public Safety Commission of looking into moving ahead of the public safety in the country so that we can be able to administer the issue of hiring, firing, placement, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And therefore, it actually indicates up to a particular point that as this committee, we need to elevate the issue of the head of the public safety to interrogate it thoroughly and actually bring all who are supposed to bring everyone around one table so that we discuss it and we no longer talk about it, but have a way for every country, how to approach that matter and we start to implement it rather than it gets documented and we talk about it. So that the EAs, that is the greatest authorities who are ministers, do really have a say and give direction, because I don't think it's a matter that people are in this. The accounting authorities, which is the head of the department, the DG, are able to also echo their sentiments on the matter. But we run as this committee again to facilitate the kind of discussion. If you all remember the recommendations that we had, part of it was not one of the department. I think as a committee we work around that issue where we can sort of maybe put it in form of a seminar where we can be able to facilitate it, or maybe in a day, and when we engage in that discussion and it has not been identified. So in our endeavor to implement NDP, that is quite critical, and we will, from our oversight, we will notice that we need to deal with that, and we will get that for every two. Okay, why was it on, we were looking at the Constitution? I have gone on the basic things and the principle of governing the public things. It is like Section 195, Point 1, and it's also from 2. Which says the above principle applies to administration in every tier of government. Every tier. It doesn't talk about commissioners and provincials. As much as the legislation of public safety commission has been performed in legislation, talks to them, they're dealing with the word commissioners and provincials. It talks about every tier of government and the AGP in the government. So it actually says, besides what we have done, is an issue of every sphere of government. The issue of local government is very critical, and we will place it still on the agenda. We know that the public says things about it, but to us, it's even more than that. It's a constitutional issue which we need to focus on, and therefore say, if there is everything, especially if we witness that lies within the local government sphere, it is very, very critical on our side. And we still say, with this good work that the public thinks has done, with this good progress that the public thinks has done, we still have not reached where we're getting to. We still want to keep the agency of government applied, you know, and therefore it's a challenge that we still present to the public safety commission, and therefore we'd like to be part of shaping that destination, particularly the local government role. Sometimes, you know, the conversation I've shown that we can be able to get, our consensus committee, when we talk of every sphere, we already have clusters and contacts that is part of the community cluster. And therefore, you know, we would need to see us moving, you know, in every sphere of government, not be leaving out a particular sphere. And therefore, that matter is very critical. But we also need to see that there will be between points of the state. When we do oversight members, what are the oversight of the state? We have actually done oversight in government. But when we talk of all kinds of mistakes, we need to interrogate that. And my opinion is that we will have not done sufficient work if we don't focus on every organ of the state. You know, we still need to move towards the front as the committee is driving the cluster. So it's a collaboration that can really make us the way driving all the clusters, but then in order for us to oversee all organs of the state, the organs that are not overseen by anyone. You know, and we don't even talk about it. You know, do you want to make examples there on which organs are not overseen? And we have to go and oversee those organs. Okay, for instance, who oversees the government? Definitely, we haven't done our task by limiting ourselves. We need to run in the school. And definitely, as the committee, we must discuss it. As the state commission, we talk of organs of the state. You know, it's part of chapter 10. It's not me. It's the constitution. It's here. And therefore, we definitely are convinced that we haven't really done much. The public enterprises, you know, some of them we do already. For instance, my talk of you know, in our portfolio of gender, but we haven't really done much work. We do need, once we get the report, some other can just focus on the public enterprises. And therefore, I'm really understanding that why is good work is happening? You know, congratulations, and, you know, all we are very appreciative of that. But definitely, we need to shape ourselves to deal with this. I know maybe we might not reach out as a committee within this, you know, fourth parliament, but the coming ones must know that this has continued. We will do a report, we'll hand over, we'll actually tell them that this is where we will have to fight, it must proceed. At the end of the day, we must have completed the stuff. But as a committee, we should have started out the work when there's an overarching oversight. We will actually sit down, plan, and think about how we'll deal with it before we just to touch the bureaucracy, to be able to do the rest. So that's where we are in collaboration. I'm therefore saying that with this appreciation, that's also a note to the work. I know that when the chairperson talked the Cameroon, he also mentioned that they are doing a lot of work, they are doing consultation, they are expanding the work, they want to also reduce that they want to review the legislation. So it's therefore it's moving to the local government field. You know, and therefore we're all going to cut off. That is appreciated, we're very much of the kind of work and then in terms of doing all of it, I know it's not you, but you know, a job is a job. So we have to close things in that way. Okay. You know, honorable members, you remember that part of why we were raised about that, our argument, especially for parliament, is that immediately when the Public Service Commission presents the state of public service, we need to pick up issues. We need to, you know, believe that the citizens also the honourable talking about that. If the president has had something in something that is counter revolution, my life was so wrong. Counter revolution. I mean, it's so wrong what works to me. You know, he can say something that may happen. It should be a binding, it should be a line of march for the nation. You know, if you say if he can disobey, it's a line of march. And you know, if it doesn't happen, there must be consequences. We'll talk about the issue of consequences. But now, we want to develop lines of march from the state of the public, state and administration, so that we then present it to parliament and create another line of march, so that all portfolio controls they do oversee. It does oversee if government is self-obliged. You know, but the thing we're doing is, we need to cover, you know, it's, you know, we don't have to create that just to organize the network to flow properly on the internet. Those lines of march will be achieved through this parliament. And of course, we do have potential to create a you know, to, if the president has announced that things are not happening, I think there must be consequences and we'll actually have a discussion around this as well. Okay, I know that's well, part of it. Maybe people might argue that, okay, we couldn't have a good deal with this earlier.